All right, welcome aboard. Live on a Monday, it's the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM. I did survive my procedure on Friday, for those that don't know. I had a node in my neck about the size of a golf ball. It was pushing against my spine. Doctor took it out. There's five layers of stitches underneath the layer of staples that he put in that makes me look like Frankenstein today. And so I've earned the nickname of Zipper Neck. So really pleased about that. But I feel all right.
Wow.
Good enough to go, Mr. Shook. Good enough
to
go.
He's a hockey player.
Yep. And that's what it looks like. It looks like somebody skated over my neck.
Yeesh.
I'll have to send you the picture because I know you love gore.
I do love that. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see that in person.
All right. Matt Shook joins us to kind of put a wrap on draft day. And the Pistons were very active, Matt. But did they get anything accomplished?
They took some swings for the future, that's for sure. And I know that you probably, in addition to the health situation, I know that it was probably a rough week for you losing John Luehr on Wednesday night. I know he was kind of a personal favorite of yours.
That was devastating to me to lose that 9.5 off the cap of 2 points and two rebounds a game.
Yeah. I mean, when you can get 2 points and two rebounds a game and all you got to do is not even $10 million. For next year for him. I think I was not alone in people following this team and rooting for this team in that I thought that was a good deal on Wednesday, kind of taking care of the addressing some of the wing issues that they have. They went from not having a starting small forward to now they have Tony Snell, who is probably the worst starting small forward in the league, but at least you have one now, so that's a step up. So that's a good thing there, and obviously the number 30 pick that they received in the trade appeared to be a good deal as well. And then I got to be honest, Dennis, Sekou Doumbouya, that was the guy who I wanted the Pistons to take, and I didn't think that he was going to be there at 15, and I thought that they should have traded up and gotten him at like 10, 11, 12, something like that. And when they fell to him, I was delighted as on the fan side of me to see that they took him. He's an 18-year-old. He's from France. He's 6'9", 230 already. He's shown a little bit of shooting stroke already. Just got one of those, you know, Pascal Siakam type of bodies. That's obviously the comparison that's being thrown around about him. They competed together a little bit in basketball with without borders as kids in Africa as well before Sekou moved to France. So it's a good lottery ticket for them. And now, obviously, there's no reasonable belief that he's going to be a major contributor this year or even for a couple years. I do think he will get the chance to earn some minutes if he plays pretty good defense as a rookie. But, yeah, we're talking about a guy who won't be 19 until 2 days before Christmas coming up this year. So not a lot of hope for it. It's the Tony Snell era at small forward for these next couple years, unfortunately. But, I like the Luehr deal, and I really like the Sekou Doumbouya pick. After that is when it got weird. I thought at 30 they had a really good chance to lock up either a backup point guard or backup big with guys like Carson Edwards and Bruno Fernando, a couple of Big Ten guys on the board there. They instead elected to make the trade with the Cleveland Cavaliers to get rid of the pick, and which I thought was still kind of an okay move because you're replenishing some of those second-round picks in future years that Stan Van Gundy threw away for things like James Ennis and Jameer Nelson for half a season, which obviously didn't work out very well there. But then they go ahead and unload most of those picks for Davidas Servetus, who, and of course, I know every fan is familiar with Davidas Servetus, the 18-year-old Lithuanian.
He's my favorite.
Yeah, of course. So, and obviously this is a guy who, if he comes over from Lithuania this year, is going to be strictly a Grand Rapids Drive player and not someone that you're going to count on for any kind of production for the Pistons for years to come. So with the team that they talk about as, you know, we made the playoffs. We got to keep making the next step. We got our big three in place. They certainly didn't act like a team who expects to be incrementally improved next year and keep building the ladder. So it makes people like me think that maybe something else is going on with this team.
Well, yeah, for Servetus, for a kid who, what, maybe a couple years, Matt, before we even see him over here?
Yeah.
I mean, they gave up. I realize they're all second-round picks, but they gave up 3 second-round picks for this guy.
Right, and yeah, second-round picks, yeah, we can poo-poo them all they want, but that's Bruce Brown, that's Kyrie Thomas, that's, you know, Draymond Green is the extreme example that everyone throws out as well. I mean, there's a lot of players in that 30 to 40 range this year, even on kind of a weakish draft, that look like they're going to be contributors to teams as rookies. So yeah, there are possibilities of second round picks, and to move up 8 spots to give up 3 second round picks to do that in total seems like a strange move, and not only strange, but I'll come out and say it seems like a horrific move, and one that we're going to keep an eye on. Davita Servetus, who, by the way, to make matters worse, according to Vince Salas of the Free Press, is his agent is Arn Tellem's son. Uh-huh. So it's a move that looks starts off looking worse and looks even worse when you throw that into account.
There you go. Yeah, for a guy that probably at best you might see in 2 years hardly playing.
Right, and who knows? Maybe Davita Servetus turns into the next Dirk Nowitzki, and we're all looking dumb for questioning this move in a few years. But my money is not on that happening.
And then apparently, after I went to bed, they picked up Jordan Bone from Philadelphia with a late second round pick. So what does Jordan Bone do?
Yeah, I mean, he's the 57th pick of the draft. They unloaded one more of those second-round picks that they got from Cleveland to get him. A guy that they apparently had, one of the Knoxville reporters was saying that they had promised him that they would pick him, and they fulfilled that promise and picked him up at 57. Again, this is a late second-round pick. So some people love his athleticism. He's got 6'3", good size for a point guard. If you're a Jordan Bone guy and you think that he could be an answer at backup point guard this year, that would be great for the Pistons, but I don't see a scenario where the 57th pick of the draft is a guy you want to count on for backup point guard minutes this year. Probably more likely to be a halfway, most of a Grand Rapids Drive type of player, but a 3-year player at Tennessee, shoots it okay, really fast, pretty big for a point guard, really good speed. So maybe kind of like Ish Smith Light in some ways. It might be an indication that if you bring the same type of player as Ish Smith, then maybe he's played his last game as a Detroit Piston.
Well, yeah. Well, I wondered, even with Lure going, do they have the money to get some of the guys signed that they want to get signed?
Yeah, I think that you're looking at that $9 million that they have in the mid-level exception this year, that is either going to go to probably a backup point guard or a backup big, because with Tony Snell and Sekou Doumbouya coming in, you've got a couple of guys that probably take care of your small forward position. You could add another one into that. But the belief is that, Bruce Brown can play some of the minutes at 3 in addition to some of the minutes at 2. Luke Kennard, you got to figure, is going to, even if he doesn't start, he's going to get starter minutes this season, getting 30 minutes or so. So, I would anticipate that they'll either chop up that $9 million into, the Willie Cauley-Stein types of backup center, and then maybe look at, guys like Darren Collison or Corey Joseph or whatever leftovers there are of the point guard situations, that maybe they could afford those types of players when free agency opens up on Sunday. So more stuff coming as the NBA offseason world continues.
Yeah, so the good news is they got rid of John Lewis last year of his contract, and Sekou may help a few years down the road. But other than that, this was not a terrific draft for the Pistons. Just a lot of smoke and mirrors, it looks like.
Yeah, there's no reason to believe that. And like I said, Tony Snell's an upgrade over John Lure for your roster for the next year, and then you have to pay Tony Snell $12 million for the year after that, which is not a good thing. But like I said, at least a competent rotational player who can sit in the corner and make threes and not hurt you defensively. So kind of buying time for Sekou to develop into whatever he's going to develop into. So yeah, they rolled the dice, and hopefully these moves pay dividends 2-3 years down the road. But I mean, if you watch them get swept in resounding fashion by the Bucks, and have a belief that this is a team that could improve in large ways from that last year to this year, they didn't do anything so far this offseason that really makes any kind of legitimate belief that will come true.
Yeah, so the next big thing now is going to come in July here. Actually, starting next week. The NBA is different from everybody else. So they get a week to agree to deals, but they can't actually sign anybody till the 8th, I think it is.
Yeah. So, yeah, actually they changed it so that June 30th, they moved it back to Sunday night.
Okay.
Because it was midnight on July 1st always, which is kind of weird because nobody wants to stay up till 2 in the morning watching free agency except for weirdos like me. But, yeah, so now they've got it kind of into the evening of June 30th, so it's a little bit more manageable. So, yeah, you'll start getting all the notifications on your phone of all these deals that have been agreed to, and then they'll get signed on July 6th. So that's what's going down. And, you know, the indications right now are that it might not be as crazy of a shuffle of the deck as it might have been pre-Kevin Durant injury, pre-Kawhi Leonard winning the championship in Toronto. Those are a couple of big things that might have changed the landscape of the free agency market than what we thought it might be a couple weeks back.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be interesting everywhere else but Detroit, because we're not going to land Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And
I'm sure Tom Gorse thinks he can.
Yeah, right. Yeah, maybe he believes that Andre Drummond straight up for them might be something that the other teams would value. But yeah, you know, the Pistons are looking at probably three guys. You know, last year they got Glenn Robinson. Or I'm sorry, they got one of the players right on the deadline. I think it was Glenn Robinson was on like the first full day of free agency, and then a couple guys came after that. So yeah, like kind of a slow trickle of two or three guys to come in, veterans that you've heard their names of, but nothing certainly to get too excited about for changing the course of this franchise. But that said, the way that this draft was so kind of strange with the drafting of the teenagers that they did on Thursday, that might be an indication, if you want to read the tea leaves a little bit, that maybe they think they are a team that should be in rebuild mode, and maybe we will see a big trade of an Andre Drummond or a Blake Griffin type after some of these teams who have such big cap space strike out a little bit in free agency and want to appease their fan base with some big names. Maybe that's a trade that could be coming down the line for the Pistons after the first wave or two of free agency is done, maybe around that July 8th, July 10th part of the calendar.
Nobody likes the word tank, but it's probably the quickest way for the Pistons to get better.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because once you go down that hole, it's hard to get out of it. Certainly it's possible, you know, teams like the New Orleans Pelicans that should be good for the next 8 years or so are evidence to go ahead and do that. But again, remember, that's a team that didn't, you know, tank, capital T. They tanked for, you know, the last 2 months of the season. But the teams like Phoenix, the teams like Cleveland, the teams like New York Knicks and Chicago, I mean, they're adding pretty good players to their teams on Thursday night, but they're, you know, teams that are going to be at the very bottom of the league. Maybe Chicago could jump up to the bottom of the playoff conversation if you're optimistic about guys like Wendell Carter and Lauri Markkanen. But it's hard to get out of that, and there's no Zion Williamson next year. There's a few guys at the top of the first round. R.J. Hampton's going to Australia. He's a prep player. He's a good one there. You know, James White, what's his name, from Memphis, James Wiseman, yep, is another guy who could be a really good prospect too. But there's not, and maybe someone does a Zion type of leap during the college season. Maybe Wiseman is just so devastating of an impact player that he becomes Zion Williamson. But yeah, it's a tough game, and the Pistons are trying to make moves around the margins and figure out a way to small ball their way back into the relevancy of the NBA.
More so than ever, this year's NBA draft was a ball of confusion to me. With every other pick, it seemed like proposed trade to somebody was next to the name. So nobody was really drafting for themselves this year, which I think as a fan gets a little diluted.
Yeah, totally agree. I was in Auburn Hills during the draft, covering it. But and so we had the TV on and we had the draft coverage on. But everything I've heard from fans and people who were watching on TV, and to a lesser extent me following it, was that you couldn't really just watch the TV telecast and really know what was going on, because everyone was wearing the wrong hats, everyone was being picked by the wrong teams, and they weren't really given all the details on the trades. And even if they were, there was so many of them, it was hard to keep track. So I agree, the NBA needs to, because it should be such a fun night. It is kind of one of those weird nights that is kind of charming in all sports, especially in the NBA, because these are the suits and the personal stories in there, and it should be kind of a fun, charming night. And like you said, everything I've heard and from what I saw too, not very good television. So they need to figure out a way to make that better going forward.
Yeah, and then today, of course, the Pistons made the crowning move, two-way deal for Lewis King out of Oregon. You know anything about him?
Yeah, he's fans wanted them to draft Kevin Porter at number 30, and they ended up trading down in that pick. Well, this is like Kevin Porter light, and that he comes in as a big-time prospect for the Pac-12, goes to Oregon, and Porter went to USC, and just like one of these great recruits, five-star guys, and then just has the disaster of a season at Oregon. So all sorts of talent, 6'9", can do a lot of things, including shoot, and comes in as a two-way player. Was a player that was believed to be a mid-second round type of pick because of his talent, but no teams wanted to make that deal. But the Pistons, seeing as though it's a two-way contract, it's not the make-or-break thing for your franchise. You can give a talented guy a shot, and that's just what they're going to do. And so he'll join the Summer League roster starting July 5th in Las Vegas, along with another familiar name, Matt McQuaid of the Michigan State Spartans, will be playing on the Pistons Summer League team, along with Sekou, along with Bruce Brown and Svee and Kyrie Thomas, Benny Boatwright, another guy from the USC that's going to play as well. So, some interesting names. I think Summer League will be a little bit more relevant and entertaining for Pistons fans than it has been the last couple of years.
Yeah, but you know they're desperate for somebody who can knock down a three at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And for McQuaid, the bad news is he's joining not only an NBA roster, well, not that he's on the NBA roster, but he's hoping to make an NBA roster, and he's in the same dilemma as he is this summer, because Bruce, Kyrie, and Svee are all on the Summer League roster, and they all play basically his same positions. Svee plays a little bit of small forward, but it's going to be tough for McQuaid to even find minutes in Vegas, let alone enough minutes to show that the Pistons or someone else that he's worth giving an investment to at the NBA level. But, we've seen Michigan State guys in the past step into the league without a lot of expectations, like Draymond Green and guys like that, and even Kalen Lucas, who was a two-way player for the Pistons last year, and kind of rise up the ranks. We know that Tom Izzo's guys are tough enough. That's the reputation, and it's well-deserved. And we'll see if down the line, maybe Matt McQuaid finds his way on an NBA court someday.
Oh, well, only time will tell there. All right, if the Pistons make the big splash in free agency, I'm sure I'll call you up and get you on again. Otherwise, enjoy your summer and tell everybody about the podcast.
Yeah, Locked On Pistons. We're still going strong for 5 days a week for these next couple weeks because, like I said, we got free agency and summer league. But after that, we'll slow down a little bit. We'll find some ways to fill up some of these episodes. But, it's on iTunes, and Himalaya is a great podcast app you should check out. We're going strong. And follow me on Twitter for all the episodes and everything else at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. And, I look forward to being back up in the Blue Water area sometime soon.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks, as always, Matt.
Talk to you later, Dennis.
All right. See ya. All right. There's Matt Schoch helping us out, finaling up that Pistons draft from the other night, Thursday night. Couldn't do it on Friday because I wasn't here on Friday. Friday, the NHL draft started, and I'll get into that after we come out of the break here in just a moment. But we're going until 7 o'clock tonight with the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM.